Cliffcentral.com. It is indeed 360 Biz. My name is Debo Mafodio. Good afternoon to everyone listening out there. It's a beautiful sunny day right here in Johannesburg. You don't know. I wish these are one of the days that one would actually be broadcasting from outside. But then I'm wondering when are we gonna be actually broadcasting from outside at some gig somewhere or at some country somewhere like I do, you know?
My man, that would be great. But the problem is entrepreneurs like hustling, fasting, pushing. There's no outdoor or relaxation. I mean, it's few. I think just last year alone, mm-hmm. I was shocked to find out there was an entrepreneur's picnic. I think it was in Pretoria or somewhere in Soweto.
What happens in an entrepreneur's picnic?
I think they just theme it entrepreneur's picnic. I'm not sure. But entrepreneurs come together, they set up stalls, buy a praia, they chill, come in your shorts and that kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, it's still business.
But entrepreneurs but an easy. Because, you know, I mean, speaking of that, you're just reminding me of all these. I mean, have you seen all these networking events that entrepreneurs are saying are going to networking events? And you ask yourself to say, okay, what happens at these networking events that are just there? And you go there, dude. I mean, you realize that all these guys are just nothing, showcasing their cars, their business cards. And for what? Where's networking there?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I mean, you know, it's crazy, Guti. I think at this point, it's like trying to sift out which church or which pastor is the right one. Because I want you to think, others, it's grass. I mean, there's so many networking events, you literally can't even decide in terms of which one. I mean, apart from guys that have been in the game for a while, that you know, which, I mean, if Debucho does something, then it's legit.
Yeah.
If whoever does something, then it's legit. But you see guys just popping up. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I got a call. Hey, Bulelani, what are you doing on the 23rd? What am I doing? You know how funny that is when someone calls you before you even say anything. They ask you what you're doing on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we need you to come speak. I'm like, do you understand that I'm a professional speaker? I get paid. But just no, speak. It's for the people and whatever. And then I agree. No, listen. Then I agree because I knew. I kind of had a gut feel that it wasn't really going to go anyway.
You understand that you're pissing me off right now, but it's fine. Continue.
Yeah, I don't get paid a lot. Maybe like 1,000, 10,000.
At least you got paid, dude. You know, there's no line that I hate. Then you're getting invited to an event, and they say, "Dude, come speak." Then from there, when you come, then you say, "No, but dude, you know that I get paid for this." You know, no, dude. I mean, the market that will be there, it's people that you need. You know, we probably book you again.
You see that line. You know what, man? Yeah. To the point where for me, when I think about this whole networking and entrepreneurship thing, you know, one of the things that I've realized is that, like corporates, we are running our brands and those are businesses to a certain point. If people are not willing to pay, mm-hmm. don't charge at the door.
If people are not willing to pay?
If you are not willing to pay me as Debucho, mm-hmm. as a speaker, then don't charge at the door.
Okay.
As simple as that. Then don't charge at the door. Because how do you then justify to me, unless I've got a relationship with him, but you're calling me up, I see the ticket, I see the flyer. The flyer says 500 rand to enter. I get there, it's 1,000 people. I get a standing ovation. That's all I walk away with. So to a certain point, I think when you butter your relationships, you kind of suss out and you understand. And I think it'd be great, actually, if we did a show around this, where we had speakers, you know, different ranges of speakers. Yeah. I mean, five guys fill this place up and then we have this conversation.
No. I think
get your Dr. David Malapo, Mr. Billy Siligani, get different guys, different brackets. Mm-hmm. And then let's have a serious conversation about this.
Yeah. I'm actually up for that challenge. Let's definitely do it. But now, isn't that paying forward?
Ha! You see now, yes. You know what, nah? I think for me, let me wrap my mind around it. But I think for me, I'm paying it forward when I show up to an event,
okay,
and it's not costing 500 rand for someone to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I show up to an event to come speak, and they tell me that it's a community workshop wherever,
or
it's a developmental. I cannot show up at the Sandton Convention Center
mm-hmm.
to come speak, and it's being build at the door, then there's 5,000 people. It doesn't make any sense.
But it's paying forward.
You know what? Once someone said, mm-hmm. I read a tweet and okay. a Facebook post, mm-hmm. and this person and this guy says, TD Jakes is coming to South Africa.
Oh, don't go there. Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
And this guy says, okay, the breakfast, they're going to have a private breakfast engagement. I think 100 people or 150 or 200, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private breakfast. I don't know what happens there. But he says they're charging about 3,000 or 5,000 to get in.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would never pay for leadership. And you know what? Not to be offensive, but I think of that as being one of the dumbest things. Because I'd pay for that. Because it depends. I mean, if you'd buy a pair of Buscemi's for 15 or 30,000 mm-hmm. and they do nothing for you, but maybe give you the appeal that you've got money, I'd pay 5,000 for that development. Because at the end of the day, I'm paying to get into a place where the perception is everyone who's in here is a winner.
Yeah.
To walk away doing business with people that are on a different level and a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to wanting to get things for free, but you want to buy a Mercedes Benz and pay. Then just say that you're not going to pay for a Benz. You're not going to pay for a BMW as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we need to have this conversation.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, today, ladies and gentlemen, we're taking paying it off. I mean, you might be asking yourself, what is paying it off? It's actually an expression. You know, it's an expression of describing the beneficiary of a good deed, repaying it to others instead of doing an original benefactor. I mean, paying off, it's mainly particularly people that are doing good out there in the communities, people that are not only focusing on making profits, but I mean, making, you know what, a community. It's called the spirit of Ubuntu. I know where we grew up, where a lot of people come in together, and others, I mean, they come in together for different reasons, for brotherhood, for friendship and the likes. I mean, in the English verb, I mean, others call it the social club.
Yeah.
Are you in any social club?
No. No. I ain't. But I'm about to join one.
You're about to join one today. Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, we're talking the social club today. I mean, there's a couple of social club. I mean, it's a business model that is growing in South Africa. And it's a group of men or a group of women, sometimes even mixed. And I know that back in the days, it actually started in between families that would just come in together, put in money, and others. It's for a different aspect. Of things. I mean, either to be fundraising. And I've realized that a social club, it's a bit different from Stockfels. We're not talking Stockfels, so don't mix it up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's why, I mean, definitely in studio, I know that I've got a brother that is speaking, that is from actually a social club. He'll introduce himself. He'll tell us who he is, what is it that he does, and where is he from. My brother, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
No, good, thanks. Do you want to say hi to the listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Yeah, my name is Musa Kwabe. I'm from Standerton.
Standerton in Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Standerton in Mpumalanga.
Okay.
And we currently running a club there. Mm. So basically, what the club does, it's basically a business. But what we had in mind was, how do we create a platform whereby people can actually come and network, people especially in business,
okay,
that want to do business, or people are aspiring to actually
so your social club is more for business people.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now these business people, where do you get them?
It's people. Our model is basically advertising the business for people to come and get their service.
Okay.
But one of the value that you actually get, or that's added by actually joining the club, or by being in this business,
mm-hmm.
is that you get to network with other people that, okay, are actually in business,
mm-hmm.
or you get to network with people that have achieved quite a level of success, and then you engage with them and then see what actually comes out from there.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll definitely explore more of that. I've got a brother on the line, Mr. Floyd Martin from Martin Brothers. I mean, this brother is one of the guys that do you know, when I started off back in the days before even business, I mean, this is brothers that were influencing me in the computer space, typing CVs, typing memos, you know, fixing computers. And interesting enough, is when I got to high school, I found him that he was the president of the school, and being actually following in his footsteps and growing with him, and now being a brother, being a friend, it's something that is absolutely amazing. He's actually as well a member of a social club. Mr. Martins, how are you, my brother?
How are you?
No, I'm good, and you, Baba?
So fine.
No, good, thanks. Floyd, do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is that you do?
Hi, listeners. You're speaking to Floyd Martins here. Actually heading the social club called Aretsebaneng Social Club.
Aretsebaneng.
Aretsebaneng, yes.
Oh, okay.
Let's know each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So now tell me, I mean, I know and understand that the society or the social club that you're running, Aretsebaneng, it's celebrating 20 years.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, it means, I mean, you guys have been in this thing for a very long time.
For a long time.
Is it? So now, I mean, Aretsebaneng as a social club, I mean, it's something that is... obviously popular within other townships and stuff, but what is the one thing that sets you guys different apart, or maybe what is it that you guys do as a social club? Yeah, Aretsebaneng.
Actually, the social club, what we do, we gather every month, every first week of the month, then we contribute towards the burial.
Okay.
But towards the burial, let's say somebody passed away, mm-hmm. then there's a certain of amount that we give it to you.
Mm. So now, I mean, so now in this social club, I mean, do you cover immediate families? Do you cover extended families?
Immediate and extended. You register 13 members.
Okay.
That's yourself and your spouse and 7 adults and 6 kids.
Really? Yeah. And how much do you contribute a month?
300 per month.
Yeah.
Then the payout is 12,000 for all adults.
Okay.
Then for kids, it's 6,000.
Is it? So, okay, Bulelani is shaking his face. What's wrong, Bulelani?
No, very interesting model, though, hey?
Yeah, but Floyd, tell me. Okay, I'm listening.
No, okay, but now we are running away from that we meet for only for period.
Okay.
Like, we converting the whole thing into something different.
Okay.
Whereby we will invest. When we raise funds, we donate to other NPOs.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision actually is for young men to be self-empowered economically, socially, and academically with different skills, like just to create a healthy environment.
Okay.
With less crime and less poverty, if you can say so.
So, but now you had, I mean, the brother that I'm with in studio, the one that comes from Mpumalanga as well, they're running something similar that has, but with theirs, their social club is more for businessmen. So I mean, in your case, are you guys having businessmen only, or are you guys having people that are working? Is it a prerequisite in terms of you guys?
We welcome to anybody.
Oh.
At first, the social club
mm-hmm.
used to belong to taxi owners and taxi drivers.
Oh yes.
We joined in.
Okay.
Like working from different companies.
Mm-hmm.
Schools, then we converted the whole thing because you know the mentality of the taxi industry people.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they want is money. But in terms of development, in terms of development and growth, they don't want to see that.
Mm.
What they want to see is money coming in.
As long as they're happy with what they put on the table for them to go eat and sleep.
That's it.
Yeah. So now let's discuss the business model of social clubs, Floyd. I mean, how is this different from Stokvel?
Stokvel is what they do. You get money immediately. When they come to you, let's say we members of 5.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to me, I host.
Okay.
Whenever I buy drinks and food,
mm-hmm.
then let's say every month you say, okay, the contributions are not going to the bank, but the contributions comes to you.
Mm.
10,000 per month, we give you 10,000.
Yeah.
Multiplied by 4.
Okay.
Meaning that month you're having a 4,000 rent.
Mm.
Then the next 10, it's your 10, then we give you money.
Oh, okay. So you
stock elsewhere.
Okay, so you guys put your money in the bank.
We put money in the bank, then we are registered with other financial companies.
Okay.
Whereby we don't feel a burden, whereby let's say 10 of our members passes away,
mm-hmm.
and it's 12,000 by 10 members. It's almost the whole money that we have at the bank.
Yeah.
So what we do, we register with one of the financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody passes away, then we go and put a claim.
Yeah.
And out of the 12,000 that you're supposed to get, you get 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
We take the 1,000 rent.
Okay.
Put it into investment.
Hmm.
That's... We're running away with the situation whereby you are a member like me.
Yeah.
I have 12 years in the social club.
Okay.
You see, after 12 years, I lose my job. I lose employment.
Mm-hmm.
Then after 3 months, the constitution says, if you don't contribute for 3 months, automatically your membership it's been terminated.
Hmm.
What will happen to me after 12 years being a member?
Oh yes, so it means the money that you've been saving is going to waste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why we deducting some other money, then we put it aside in terms of the investment. If I lose employment, I know that my family and I are covered.
So now tell me, Floyd, in terms of a social club, now do you register it somewhere with, I mean, obviously with companies you register with CIPC, with NPOs and NGOs you register with social development. Now with social club, who do you register them with?
I think I'm not sure for now, but what we need to do is that we're supposed to do a research. Like, we're in the process of doing research since we converting the whole concept or the mentality of we contribute,
mm-hmm.
we bury. But
yeah.
We need to buy shares and have business ventures.
Yeah.
Whereby, let's say, for example, we buy 10 chairs, toilets, and some other things.
Yeah.
Whereby we hire them out so that we can generate income.
Even better, you guys can come invest in my business, eh? for a profit share, you know that you shareholders month a year end, you guys get dividends, and I think it's something that you guys must consider to look at, and investing in property as well. You know, let's look beyond the tents, let's look beyond the tables, and you know, other things. I think it's something that definitely, because right now, I mean, when you compare, I mean, I've did a bit of study on social clubs. I mean, with other countries, it's actually a gathering of the elite that come together for one purpose, either business or hunting, politics, or even charity work or anything of that kind. And within these social clubs, I mean, there's a lot of money that goes in between these people. So, and others are already investing in property, they're doing many other things in the benefit, I mean, of the social club. But more than anything, I think, let me commend you guys on the 20 years celebration that you guys are going to be having in no time. And I understand you guys are going to be hosting a gala dinner as well?
Yes, on the 30th of April.
So yes. So now who's entitled to be attending this gala dinner?
Anyone is welcome.
Oh, is it?
Anyone is welcome.
Oh, okay.
Your makokos, your mkulus, your aunties.
Yeah.
Oh. Everyone is welcome. Because at the end of the day, with the money that you're going to raise on the day,
okay,
then some of the money, like, we'll put it aside, and like certain portion of the money we'll donate it to one of the NPOs locally.
Oh, so now people are actually going to be paying to get onto the gala dinner.
A ticket is 200 rand.
Okay.
Includes a buffet and drinks.
Hmm.
Because apart from having this 20th anniversary gala dinner,
mm-hmm.
it's also honor the members that left the group.
Oh, that's nice. That's different.
A good thing. They started a good thing, then they left that thing with us.
Wow.
So it's like we're taking over and like moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also be honoring, there are three ladies in Wadville that they play R&B and soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like people know them.
Okay.
But I think they need recognition.
Wow.
So we'll be honoring them that they need to carry on with what they are doing,
mm-hmm.
and then try to get people to pull them up, to rope them up to maybe radio stations or sharing stage with other big guns.
No, definitely. I mean, maybe we must hear some of their music, Bulelani.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, who knows, we could probably even play it here on Cliff Central. No, but anyway, before I let you go, Mr. Martin, tell me about Men of Vision. I understand on top of a social club that you guys have, are starting another club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, Man of Vision, the whole thing that made us to maybe split. We'll be managing, because I'm one of the signatories in terms of humanitarian issues at the Adreti Baneng.
Okay.
But we're trying to expand the group. We'll be having two groups with two different management.
Okay.
But one board that they'll account to.
So now, so it means now it's sort of like this main social club is kind of becoming a group, and the Men of Vision is kind of becoming a subsidiary.
Something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So then at the end of the day, like the core strategy of the whole Men of Vision is to build and liaise with other stakeholders. Because in terms of the social club, like some other things, like you are a bit limited to do them. And to also influence men towards creating environment that will allow them to develop economically and socially, that they need to think outside the box. Because we need to run away that we will bury somebody else and then like they are after tears.
Yeah.
But we need to convert the whole thing into a business structure.
Oh, yes. No, I see. I see what you mean. Okay. Now, are you done?
Yeah, you can ask another question.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying, so now as I let you go, so for people that want to know more about what you guys do, or people that want to get more information, where can they get hold of you?
The email address is menofvision.
.socialclub.
@yahoo.com.
menofvision.socialclub@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Or you can find me on my cell phone.
Okay,
Floyd Martin.
Floyd Martin. The cell phone number is
0833 359 65 65 03 03. Yeah. On a closing note, I would like to say, if young men are not empowered, the future is not secure.
Power.
What the Bible says that a man will provide for his family.
Yes.
So men need to man up and stand up for their family.
Yeah. No. It's actually a mouthful, Mr. Martin. Thanks a lot for your time and for joining us. Looking forward to be coming through to the gala dinner. Is me and Bulelani invited? Bulelani, are we invited?
Free food.
Yeah, you'll be guest. That needs to buy 3 tickets each.
No. It's okay. We'll definitely talk about that. But thanks a lot for your time once more, right?
Okay, thanks once more.
No, definitely. And we, ladies and gentlemen, if you've just joined in on Cliff Central, you're listening to Tebohoma 40 with Bulelani Balabala right here on Cliff Central. On the name of the show, it's 360 Biz. We're talking social clubs. I mean, if ever you've just joined in, you've missed out on any interesting discussion that we're having with Floyd Martin, who's running a social club themselves that they're actually turning into a business. For you to join in on the discussion, you can actually call us. Our studio line is 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is @cliffcentral.com, and we're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. If ever you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @Tebohoma40, and it's Tebohoma40 on Facebook as well. Mr. Bala?
@Bulelani Bala. That's me. Twitter, Instagram, that's definitely me, sir.
Okay. Gentlemen, are you guys on social media?
Yeah. Okay. I'm on Facebook. Musa Kwabe, you can follow the group. It's Kabonga Group.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, my brother, you?
Okay, on Twitter and Instagram, it's @Linzito85, so it's LINZITO and then numerals 85, and then on Twitter it's Linzito Inspires.
Linzito, you are late, my brother. People are wondering, who's this Linzito guy? So you want to say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Okay, my name is Lindsay van der Bijl. I'm a motivational speaker, also an entrepreneur at the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And yeah, I do speaking at the SLEF, which is the Sibusiso-Leope Education Foundation. I'm also one of the mentees, and I'm a youth activist. I do everything to empower the youth as far as possible. Doesn't have to be money. It can be wisdom, just teaching people what you've been through, your struggles. That's also because I think we've got a there's a perception in this country that when you're helping out the next person, you need to be taking out money, which is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it's better once we teach people how to make money for themselves. Because if we don't do that, they will keep coming back to you. And then it will become an annoying.
So you're teaching people how to make money?
Basically how to live life. Because you can teach someone how to make money, but if you don't teach him how to spend, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you teach him about life, he'll then appreciate what comes in and what goes out, and whatever money he makes or whatever wealth he makes, where it ends up. So so that is very important. It goes hand in hand with education, which I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. Now, I mean, speaking about life, my brother, you spoke about the type of a social club that you guys have for businessmen. Do you wanna tell us more about the life in that social club? To say why businessmen? I mean, there's other people other than businessmen.
I think with me, when I actually designed the business model, it was a matter of thinking, how can I design a business model at the very same time that's going to be directly linked to my purpose? I believe that my purpose in life is to empower people to discover their purpose and to support them to achieve financial freedom. Then with that, I see entrepreneurship as a good vehicle to actually achieve those two things. So with everything that I do, or the business that I'm actually involved in, or that I actually want to start, it needs to have that element at the center of it all. So with that being said, I was just thinking that, okay, every guy, we cut our hair, we like to buy watches and all those things like that. But how about if in that very same space, I get to be encouraged to actually start a business? Or how do I meet people that are successful in business and I don't know how did they get to be where they actually are? So I thought that club would create that platform whereby people would engage on business matters, and it would actually empower people to actually start businesses, or people that are actually in business to network with other people that are actually in business. So it was, the whole idea was a matter of me creating a business model that's directly linked to my purpose. That's why I focused on business or entrepreneurship, if I can put it like that.
So it's actually a business model.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, how does this business model make one? Do people pay to join in the club? Or do they come with their cars or with a bottle? How does it work?
Okay. The model works. We have there's three subscriptions. A silver membership, and then your gold membership, and then your platinum membership. With each membership that you subscribe to, you actually get benefits from that. So with your silver one, it's a month's worth of hair grooming. You cut your hair as many times as you like. When you come, you don't pay. You just produce your cut. And for that, you pay about $200 for that. And during those things, and you also get a discount when you buy accessories if you're actually a member. And then the 6 months one, it's about 880, and you can cut your hair as many times as you like. When you actually come there, you don't have to pay anything, and you know, it's complimentary stuff. You get free drinks when you get there, and you get that opportunity to network with other people as well. And then the platinum one, which is about 1590. And then with that one, it's the whole year. So it means that we actually secure you as our client or customer to cut your hair for the entire year. And then during that time, you also get a discount, which is about 30% off on those accessories and then other benefits of the events that we actually host there.
Interesting.
I've never heard about the one does the hair.
Never, actually, hey? Never. And I mean, just, I think, we met the other day, and I think one of the things that really spoke to me about their business model is how it's so directly linked to the development of the community. And I mean, just touch on that element a bit.
Yeah, last year, I think around September, we launched the bursary fund. So how the fund actually works is that every time when a member comes into the club, we contribute, the business itself contributes 5 rand towards the fund. So that fund is used to empower leaders. Our main focus is not, we look at the people who are actually responsible for certain things. I'll make an example of the project that we're currently running. As a parent, there was Elena, I think she's doing grade 4, and then she doesn't have school shoes and all those things like that. And then the principal approached us, and then they were asking for funding for us to actually buy those uniforms. And then I said, okay, yes, we are willing to be involved, but our business model doesn't allow us to actually buy uniforms, because we're going to be buying uniforms this year, the following year. We're looking for the person who's supposed to be buying those uniforms. And then we empower that individual to be in a position to actually provide for that individual's actually in need. So we went to the parent, and then we asked the parent, are you working? And then obviously she's not working. And then what is it that you can actually do to sustain the family and to provide for your kids? And then we work on, right now we're working on a project. She's going to be doing a chicken crawl. So there'll be breeding chickens or something like that, and then selling them. So that's the project that we're doing. And then we use those funds to actually buy those chicken, the stock, and then the material that is going to be used to build that place up. So that's our model. We focus on leaders, and then we say those are the people that are going to have a huger impact in terms of people that I actually need when we actually look at things, which are the children or the scholars and all those things like that.
Interesting. Now tell me something. Now it's an interesting developmental perspective, because then now you are actually developing entrepreneurs, or rather the spirit of entrepreneurship. But now what happens when this chicken crawl develops and becomes a rainbow chicken? Do you guys have any equity, or was it just you guys paying it forward?
I think it was just us paying it forward. And we don't take any equity in that business in that sense.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Right? They must change it.
No, I mean,
people are making profits out there. Maybe you must have equity, stake, you know?
Just, you know, just to so that you can manage the quality of the product and, I mean, manage the development of the actual brand and to hold the people directly accountable. You know, I think maybe 10%, 20%. Yeah. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Because it's not for the money.
So yeah, it is.
That's what you're trying to show with the percentage, but you're also trying to be there so that you mentor this person all the way to the top. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about mentoring this person, Bulelani, I mean, we've got a brother here who specializes in mentoring people and speaking to young people. There's someone that is listening out there. They've not seen the need of joining a social club or starting a business or being in any community activity that could actually empower them or actually help them develop or be the best people they can be. To somebody that is listening today, what would you say to them?
I would like to say, okay, Tebo, first and foremost, I think what we do as a society, we complicate things a lot. And when you start using the word mentor, people see this office space and this nice desk and all this fancy language. But mentoring is much more than that. Mentoring can be you just approaching the guy at the corner, giving him those few words of wisdom. Because at the end of the day, when you're mentoring, you are not telling a person what to do. You're giving guidance to say, okay, if you are taking this route, these are the consequences. If you're going this route, these are the consequences. And it becomes much easier once you've been through the things that you talk about. And I do that a lot, especially when I speak also to varsity and to high school students. I share my journey, because I also believe that before you're a motivational speaker, your journey must be motivational in itself.
Is it?
It must be. You.
So you have a journey.
I've got a very, very interesting, weird, funny.
can you give it to us quickly so that we become introduced to this journey that other people are exposed to?
Okay. First and foremost, I think I'm 30 years old now. Mm-hmm. At the age of 10, I was already a full-blown alcoholic.
Age of 10?
10.
Oh, okay.
So what happened was I had friends who were 16, 17. And by the time I got to like age 11, some of my friends were finished with school. So we never had problem getting alcohol. So because the others were already working. So for me, it wasn't, you know, hide and seek. It was like, you know.
What were you drinking, my brother?
Back then it was Mellowwood.
Okay.
The first Savannahs came out. There was Esprit. Mm-hmm. But. The reason why I bring that up is that, you know, a lot of people go into the bottle to run away from problems.
Okay.
But the reality is you're just pressing pause. That's all you're doing, because the problem is not going to go away unless you face it.
Mm.
Because once you start drinking and you get into the flow, so yeah, she's.
Then
what happens is you don't forget. That thing is still waiting for you mm-hmm. to get sober again. And once you are sober again, you're going back to the very same problem. Mm-hmm. So with me, when I stopped drinking, I stopped basically because of a bet. So I had an alcohol poisoning incident where I was sick like from Friday to Wednesday. To Kapeta, I said for the next 6 months I'm abstaining. And after 6 months, I never had a single sip of alcohol. And then I said, you know what? Let me just take a 10-year bet with myself. And I can tell you up till this day, I've never had, I think the only alcohol that I use is in the deodorants. Other than that, I've never consumed.
Yeah.
So what I'm basically saying, and I think the thing is, a lot of people, they get advice like, you know, if you want to stop drinking, stay away from people who drink. I actually advise the opposite, because you need to know how strong you are.
Mm.
You need to face those people. You need to actually go sit there next to the bottle and then tell that bottle, you and me are not friends. So, yeah. So with me, I don't even know what the rehab looks like. I've never ever been to a rehab, but I've been clean since the 16th of February 2001. I've never had a single sip of alcohol. I know some of the listeners probably weren't born by then, but but yeah, it's a long time.
So
that's one of my main focuses, and the challenge for change, which is the initiative that we started. It has been my dream for the last 2 years, and I encourage people not to sit on their dreams, because if you are sitting out there with a dream and you are keeping it secret, you are not bringing it out. The people that can help you don't know. They don't know that you actually need the help. And once it comes out in the open, people can say, you know what, I can help you with that. And that is exactly what happened to me. This year, I just said, you know what, I'm going to make it one of my New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to start working on it. I mean, I got big organizations like your Lead Essays on board, like people that are constantly involved in change and so mm-hmm. And so forth. So part of it, it's twofold. So what I'll be doing is I'll be cycling from the Union Buildings in Pretoria to the Parliament in Cape Town.
When you're going to be cycling?
Yes. So yeah. I'm gonna be cycling from the country.
Are you sure the last time you had alcohol was when you were 10? And are you sure that the only alcohol you have is the one on your deodorant? Because right now it's like you drank something.
If you look at me, I might not be scorer, but I've been putting in the training. I used to be a provincial athlete. So I'm quite a competitive guy, and the reason for this cycle is that I needed something that's either going to make people laugh or going to say, wow, are you really going to do it? So it's basically to capture the attention, to say, you know what, you can do whatever you want, whatever you say you want to do, you can do it. And
okay.
And I mean, I don't think it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. But it's like with any dream, it's gonna be difficult, but it'll be worth it in the end. And I mean, from with the cycle as well, we're going to be getting people to donate books. I mean, the response has been awesome. People are already wanting to donate the books.
How many days are you going to be on the bicycle?
Looking at between 5 and 8. Because what? No. 5 and 8 days.
Are you cycling alone?
So
there's other people?
You see, right now, I'm the one that's confirmed. Others have shown interest, so I'm not sure. But the thing is, whether they come on board or not, we are still going ahead because you can't outsource your dreams.
I want to buy a bicycle for Bulelan. You know,
yeah, we can put him
to go to Cape Town cycling. I'm sure he'll come back slim as you, dude.
Yo, you know, I'd actually load it up at ORT and land in Cape Town. What, you know, just listening to this, it's crazy because. Yeah, I don't even know what to say because
that's just part one. So the craziness. I think maybe the crazy part you should keep for wow, when I get to part two, because the crazy part of the cycle is to raise reading awareness. And I come from the Eastern Cape, which is a province that every January we are reminded that we are first from the bottom when it comes to the matric results. And that hurts, because if you look at most of your corporates in Joburg, most of your government positions and so on, it's people from the Eastern Cape.
Mm-hmm.
So are we doing enough as a people to plow back into the areas where we come from? Or do we get into Gauteng and then just forget about where we come from? So I decided, you know what, let me stop complaining and then let me do my bit. So the reading thing, I know for a fact that there are people in rural Eastern Cape, like parents who can't read or write, they can't spell their own names. So it becomes difficult for them to help their children read, to help their children with homework. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is something that's very close to my heart. And yeah. and I feel by me doing this cycle, not only am I going to get people saying I'm crazy, I'm going to get people buying into it. And I'm going to get other people who are sitting on their dreams to actually get up to say, you know what, that guy Lindsay used to be an alcoholic, but he did it. I can also do it. So that is the main aim with the cycle. So we'll get all those books and then we're gonna go to one of the neediest rural areas. So if people are listening and have ideas or know of an area that's seriously in need of a library where we can donate the books to, you can get hold of me. And then what we'll do is we'll just assist the community with building a library so that they at least have access to some reading material.
Mm.
And yeah.
Mm. Now, you know what interests me is this part. Is there a number of books that you guys are gunning for? Is there a target?
It's one book per kilometer is the minimum.
Okay.
So we're looking at roughly 1,450.
1,005.
Yeah, 1.5.
And I mean, cycling from here all the way to Cape Town, when you're tired, food, support, medical aid.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, in people are very spoiled in Joburg. Because we do this motivational thing week in, week out. You have options. If you don't go this week, you can go next week. But if you're looking at people along the route, they don't have access to that. Some people in the small towns where we're going to go past don't even know what the motivational speaker is. So our plan is not to just get on a bike and boom, go down to Cape Town. It's to stop. The first stop is going to be between Sasselburg and Parys. What we're going to do is we're going to have a community workshop, which is what we do with SLEF, which is our foundation. So we'll go into the communities, engage the people, because most of the people that we speak to are students. There are people who are unemployed, who don't know how to start a business, people who have no idea of how to actually put an idea on paper. So we will use what we have to actually help those people to say, you know what, this is where you start, and these are some pointers and tips for you to actually get off the ground. You don't need to sit and think life is over. You can actually start life and make a change. So it's there's going to be a couple of smaller towns where we're going to stop over, and then because we're also going to do Welkom, going to stop over in Bloemfontein, Colesberg, Laingsburg and Worcester before we get to Cape Town.
Mm. So, okay, let me ask you this. Are you a cycler?
I'm not a cycler per se. I've cycled 120 kilometers. That's the furthest I've cycled before.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I'm ready for it. I've been running. I've been doing my 3-hour runs, 2-hour runs. So I've been putting in the work. I haven't as yet gotten the bicycle. But I'm 100% sure I'm going to get it. And I think this situation should actually tell people you don't need to wait for something to come. So my thing is, I did not wait to get the bicycle before I started training. I've been training. So when the bicycle come, I just get onto the bicycle and I go. And when the bicycle does come, my first training run will be to Durban. And it should not... Guys, you're laughing.
This is amazing. Like, so, the thing is, I struggle at the gym.
Yeah, what I'm gonna do, I'm hoping to do it in 3 days, and then obviously when I get to Durban, I'll put the bike on the bus and then come back. So it'll basically just be a down cycle, and then I'll come back with the bus. But that's part one. That is only it's part of my training for part two, which
just
is
okay. Run us through part two.
What is part two?
Okay, part two is a double summit of Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania.
What?
A double summit. So a summit is going up to the top and then coming down. That's a summit.
Okay.
And then the double is, the second one is going to be a run. So the first one is going to be a normal getting up, coming down, acclimatizing. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, I want to run up and run down. I want to be the fastest African to have ever gone on. The record is currently sitting at 8 hours and 30 minutes. It's 6 kilometers high. So it is going to be, it's a 12-kilometer round trip. So 6,000 meters above sea level.
Do you know a lady called Dashin Tazel?
Yes, she's actually one of my mentors and my she facilitated me at the Branson Center.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Do you know that she's climbed that mountain?
Yes, I have twice also.
Yeah.
She was also one of the people that actually got me into this thing of mountain, of actually loving mountains and, you know, the outdoors trail and so, as well as a very close friend of Richard Branson, who's Creel Price. He also came through. I've had the privilege of going on a boot camp with him, an entrepreneurship boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And at the boot camp, we did an actual hike. And I was like, come, let's go to the next. So it's like, okay, no, the aim of the hike is not to go. It's to actually stay in a team, because whatever we were doing on that cliff was actually part of this of the syllabus, and it related to how you do business. Because his view is that climbing a mountain is the same like with business. When you get to the top, it's not over. Because a lot of people get to the top and they think they've made it. You need to actually come down.
Yeah.
So if you've made it on the top, coming down, you're going to be rolling, you're going to be falling. And that falling can also relate to you losing cars, losing houses, losing family, losing friends, and all those kind of things. So you need to keep your cool. You need to be humble when you get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You appreciate your achievement when you get back to the bottom, because that's where you started. You need to come back to where you started. You can't just end on the top, because the first guy to have actually gotten to the top of Mount Everest never came down. That's why his name is not known, because he never actually came down, but his body was found on the top. So that's the thing. You need to complete the journey. You can't do it halfway.
Yeah, and I hear people die there.
Yeah, I mean, the climate is...
No, my man, I think you must get yourself into a social club. First, I will put you with Floyd so that they're able to bury you. or maybe we put you with these businessmen. But I mean, more than anything, I think one needs to commend you for the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And the initiative. I think more than anything, you're proving one thing, to say there's nothing that's impossible if only your mind is set to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if Bulelan wants to be on that bike, he can be on that bike and actually head all the way to Cape Town. So now it's something that is actually much appreciative, I think. But do you have anything to say?
Man, it's been very interesting, actually. Very, very interesting to have the bike thing. It's amazing. And I mean, the concept and idea of every time someone walks into the barbershop and cuts hair 5 rand. You know, for me, that's as scary as cycling to Cape Town, because you're bleeding money. I mean, if the haircut is 100 rand or 50 rand, you're bleeding 10% of that 50 rand. Apart from VAT, tax, SARS, salaries, it's a serious commitment. Because what you're saying, in effect, is that the day you guys make a million... No, let me just leave it there.
I think... Cliff Central should just donate the chain. We'll fasten Bulelani to the chain so he doesn't run to any airport.
Listen to these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So Musa, as we are about to let you go, I mean, for people that want to know more about what you do and the social club, do you guys have a website? Or
They can visit our website, which is www.gabongwe, which is KABONGWE. Mm-hmm. .co.za, or we have a Facebook page as well, which is Gabongwe Group. I think you'll get most of our contents there.
It's fine. Lindsay, people that want to support you and get more information from you.
Okay. On, like I said, on Facebook, it's Lenzito Inspires, and on Twitter and Instagram, it's Lenzito85.
How do you spell this Lenzito?
LINZITO, and then the numbers 85, the year I was born in. Legends were born in 85. And I also just like to invite, like, small businesses that have never had an opportunity to have their businesses exposed. I think this whole concept that we're busy with is going to get the much needed exposure. And if you would like to come on board, donate towards the purchasing of a bike, just to get your company logo out there or your organization.
Oh, so you still need a bike?
Yes, I still need a bike. The Lord said, you must ask and you shall receive.
How much is a bike this?
The bike that we got quoted for is 15,000.
Oh, how much do you have?
Yeah. So far, we've raised 5,000. So we're short with another 10, which will come.
When are you set to leave?
The 4th of July is the departure date.
Oh, okay. No, but I'm sure by then you would have made
departures. No, it's a 15,000 rand bike. It's not a 400 rand one. So it will depart.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. No, I mean, that's all that we had for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Bulelani, as you close, do you have anything? 30 seconds worth of inspiration.
It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how big your dreams are. Just go after the dream and make it happen. And wow, today's show is just a testament to the fact that doesn't matter where you are, you can come up with a brilliant idea. Doesn't matter how hairy and audacious that dream is, you can create it to come to pass.
Okay. 30 second word of inspiration.
Whatever you're thinking about, let it come out. Don't hide your dreams. People are waiting to help you. We are out here, and yeah.
Okay, Musa?
Yeah, I think just one thing is that each and every one of us were born for a reason. It's a bit of us discovering what it is that we're born to do and wake up every day and do that thing.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with your endeavors out there.
All the best.
Thank you.
No, definitely. All the best. Yeah. What am I saying? I'm saying there's nothing that's impossible. The guys have proven that you can actually start and tell yourself that you're going to do it and do it right with no bicycle, with nothing, but with just faith. This man has got nothing but faith and character. So it's something that you only need sometimes to actually make a success out of yourself in terms of that business. And in terms of social clubs, it's something that brings back together the community, because there's no way that you'll succeed on your own. We need each other for us to achieve. More than anything, listen to Cliff Central, because this is the way where we have content that you need, that is going to inspire you, change you, and most personally transform your life. You can always go to the podcast at www.cliffcentral.com and go to podcast. We've got a whole range of shows there. Listen and even download the app to actually listen to what we have definitely in store for you. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Debo Homafodi and Bulelani Balabala. I'm out. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.